We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, Joe, heading out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Kyle Crabb's going to join us now on Twitter at Grinding the Tape. He's the Grindfather, director of scouting for the Draft Network, lead editor of the Dolphins Wire, host of Locked on Fins and Draft Dudes podcast. I don't know how he has any time to do anything else besides look at football tape, but that's why we love him. Kyle, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Listen, guys, I will make the time for you anytime, okay? Excited to talk all with you guys today.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. Hey, Kyle, pretty interesting, obviously, the importance of this draft class. And now the circumstances is most of them don't even know how to get to Davey yet and haven't been there for any kind of workout. How quickly and what do you expect out of this draft class, especially the offensive linemen that they drafted, three of them? That you think any of them have a chance to come in and start right away, realistically?
Yeah, I think the demand is going to, at the very least, require Robert Hunt to take either the right guard or right tackle spot. And I think his style of play lends itself pretty well to. He's a little less raw than what Austin Jackson was, obviously, from an athleticism perspective. He's not quite as toolsy as Austin Jackson, and that's how one ends up going at 18 and the other one at 39. I wouldn't be surprised to see Austin Jackson maybe weaned in a little bit more gradually, but I definitely think we're going to see Robert Hunt. You know, they're going to want to try and start him at right tackle, and if he can't stick there, then you kick him inside to guard where he has a little bit more natural protection, and you have a guy in Jesse Davis who's played both inside and outside who can kind of help them get that best combination of five. But I also think the offensive line by the end of the year and the offense in general is going to look very different than what we see at the beginning of the season because some of these circumstances that you just alluded to, Joe.
Yeah, and then the other thing is Julian Davenport, we always forget, and I know he's been up and down and kind of plays well against less competition and struggles a little bit against the better, but guy's only 25 years old. He's got 27 starts. I just, you know, no matter how talented you are, when you've been around, you got experience. Another guy does. He's going to have it up on you. But you think, Julian, you see him potentially starting a season when they play New England, he'll be the starter for that game?
Probably. And Julian, you know, even coming out of college before he got drafted by Houston, I mean, he played at Bucknell. So he played at a small school. You knew he was going to be a developmental kind of guy. And you see some of the advancements that some of the other Dolphins players throughout the course of 2019, and obviously being a blindside pass protector the way Julian was, and during the leg injury that he did and missing time, I'm not quite ready to stick a fork in him just yet and say that he can't be an asset to this team. Ideally, probably is the backup left tackle, and I think that the Dolphins, you know, their approach in the draft seems to echo that sentiment, but at the very least, I think he can be a solid backup that if you get into a pinch, he's got some tools that he can use. His length is outstanding on the edge.
Kyle, is there and we'll stick with the rookie class for a second, is there an ideal amount of games you want to possibly see Tua play this year? Is there not enough? Is there more than enough? Like, what do you think there's an idea coming from Dolphins camp, from Chris Greer and Brian Flores, of what they want to see out of Tua, or just start with Ryan and see how it goes from there?
I expect them to start with Ryan and kind of see how it goes, but I do think it's worth us kind of talking about, you know, the change in offensive coordinator that was such a big surprise, and bringing in Shane Gailey, and, you know, on the surface level, that's tailored very much to Ryan Fitzpatrick because Ryan has 5 years of starting experience under Shane Gailey, but at the same time, they're tailoring this offense to be much more simple than the one that Chad O'Shea ran last year, and I think that's something that for the Dolphins and their rookie group and this young roster in its entirety is going to be beneficial for everybody. And a lot of these RPO concepts, it's right into his wheelhouse. So as far as a number of games, ideally, I mean, I'd probably like to get a sample size of maybe half a season, but that's just me personally, and I don't think the Dolphins are going to be that picky. You know, if Ryan's out there and they're winning, they're probably going to stick with Ryan. But if the offense gets stagnant and we struggle a little bit, they may decide, all right, now it's time to begin this evaluation and see what kind of upgrades we might need to make to the pass catchers in the 2021 offseason to help Tua be in the best position to be successful.
All right, Kyle, let's go back to last year's draft. I call him the mystery man going into year two. What's your thoughts on Michael Dieter? Goes from being a starter to, boy, there's no guarantee this year. What happens to him in year two?
Yeah, I would ideally like to at least see him get a chance to compete for the starting center position. Dieter came out of Wisconsin. He had playing experience at tackle, guard, and center, 10-plus starts at all three spots. And at the very least, having that amount of cross-training and that amount of experience brings value as potentially being the sixth or seventh offensive lineman on this team that can be a utility guy and play any of those interior spots. I don't think a starting job is promising for him. I know the Dolphins signed Ted Karras to that one-year deal, hoping to bring him over from New England. And Karras is going to have to play with something to prove as well, because he took this short-term deal in hopes of proving he could be a starter, so he's betting on himself. But if I think if Dieter's going to crack the lineup, I personally think his best chance to do it is at center.
Let me ask you about another one. Very interesting. Howard and Jones now considered to be maybe one of the best three or four combinations of cover corners in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. But with that man comes some serious high expectations. What's that do to Igamon Ogunni? Where do you think that all plays out for him now as a first-round pick? Is he a nickel? How does he fit in?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, right? Because we felt the Dolphins before the draft had this, maybe not a glaring need, but their most blatant need in the secondary seemed to be at free safety. And then they come out and they draft a guy who played a lot of slot corner. And I think that's really telling for what Miami's, maybe not base defense from a traditional sense, but what their base defense is going to be with what their percentage of their snaps is used in what personnel groupings. I think you're going to see a ton of nickel. And I think, you know, having two safeties in Eric Rowe and Bobby McCain who have experience playing corner, and then a very high-end, athletically gifted nickel corner in Noah Igbogani, to step in, and then that's your five defensive back guys that you can go man up across the board. And if teams are trying to motion you or they're trying to flood, you've got, if you need to rotate that secondary down and get one of these safeties down into the line of scrimmage, they have experience doing that. So I think he's kind of the tell as far as you're going to see very heavy nickel defense for the Dolphins in 2020.
Damn, Kyle, that was pretty good. See, that's why we had him on, Zach, right there. both the safeties can cover, man. They're both corners, too. That's a great point. Very good point.
All right, so stick with the defense, Kyle. Last year, there was no pass rush. There was really, realistically, no pass rush. Did they do enough in the offseason to upgrade that pass rush by bringing in Van Noy and Shaq? And all, you know, like, did they do enough to make that pass rush? Because they obviously upgraded the secondary. But that front four, that front whatever, it's got to be better than it was last year, right?
Well, they're going to have a hard time being worse than what they were last year. First and foremost. But
that's as bad as you can be. That's a great point.
I look at the personnel that they brought in with Emmanuel Ogba and Shaq Lawson, and it's pretty clear that both in the secondary and on the defensive front, that the Dolphins have a type. So I did a little bit of research as far as what some of the measurements were and the athletic testing for the guys that they brought in on the defensive line. And that's a smaller sample size, but, you know, including those five guys in the secondary between Jones and Howard and McCain and Rowe and Igbo, you've got on the defensive line, they like density and they like lower body power. So I thought it was interesting that across the board, all the guys that they brought in, their standing broad jump, which is a testing measure from the athletic combine, 60 percentile or better for all those guys across the board, and they like length, and they like density. So they heavy hitters up front with heavy hands. So I think the Dolphins are probably coveting, and this is a recent analytical trend, coverage over pass rush. They're banking on having elite athletes on the back end and being able to stay sticky with guys, and then because of the length, size, and power, They're going to look to collapse the pocket around opposing quarterbacks. It's a very New England Patriots style defense, and you know it's easy to make those ties with Brian Flores, but that's the blueprint that they're going to hold. And I thought the more interesting tell from an athletic profile perspective, and why Noah Igbahogany made a lot of sense for the Dolphins, is Nick Needham was an undrafted free agent who balled out last year towards the end of the year, but he was a low end athlete. You look at all his pro day numbers and stuff. The Dolphins, with their starting five projected as it is in the secondary, elite athletes. There's something like 21 out of a possible 25 athletic tests that they're in like the 80th percentile or better. So if you want to play on Brian Flores' defense on the back end, you better be a hell of an athlete.
I'm glad you brought up old Nick Needham, man. He played his butt off last year. He really did. The game he had against the Colts was ridiculous. But, yeah, we saw a guy that didn't get drafted that just played his butt off. He's locked himself a position off what he did last year. Would you agree to definitely be on this team as a backup corner?
Oh, for sure, for sure. I think he's probably the guy that's going to, if they endure some injuries with, you know, if Xavier Howard's knee issues flare up again, I wouldn't be surprised if Needham gets a call it outside, and then that way you're not shuffling a bunch of pieces in the secondary.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right. All right, the Josh Rosen situation, I mean, obviously going to be on this team. You think that more he's going to be on this team because of what we're going through, you know, in a pandemic type of season, or money? Or because it doesn't look like he's going to end up playing on this team, and now he's all of a sudden not even in the plans. He's third string, whatever it is. What do you think the story is with Josh Rosen staying on this team going forward?
Yeah, I think Josh holds more value in 2020 for the Dolphins than any other team. And the reason being there is they invested in what they did to kind of roll the dice and hopefully skip the line in needing a quarterback if he came in and knocked it out of the park, which he obviously did. But if the Dolphins were going to move on from Rosen, if they were going to rehab his image and they were going to get a modest return on investment for him, they needed these preseason games to happen so that he could play in them and showcase in a more simple offense versus what Chad O'Shea had, that he still had the talent that made him a top 10 overall pick. Well, we know right now the preseason's been cut in half. These reps are going to be more valuable, and we might not get any preseason games at all. So there's no path for the Dolphins to rehab his image. So, and if you look to approach this again next year, now he's a player on an expiring contract, and nobody's going to trade anything of value for a guy who hasn't started in 4 years as an expiring contract. So I think, unfortunately for the Dolphins, you know, he may, his best pathway to being a career NFL player with tenure is to be the Dolphins' backup quarterback, and he's going to have to ingratiate himself with this staff over the next 2 years to earn a second contract. But that's his pathway to success at this point.
You think he puts on a happy face for because if he's not looking like he's into it, this head coach is not going to tolerate one day. I'm curious what Josh's mindset's going to be coming back from California, knowing that no matter how you look at it, he's the number three quarterback.
Right. Yeah. I know there were some of those concerns for Josh, and before the NFL draft, when he got drafted, there was those who said that they had concerns that he had other interests outside of football, and it's kind of a wild card. But hopefully, his time around Ryan Fitzpatrick and getting what will equate to 2 years being around Ryan, and Ryan's kind of the perfect guy that you could hope to learn from as far as just loving the game of football and being, right, you know, taking in for your opportunities when they come your way, but having a greater perspective other than just, I want to be the starting quarterback.
Right. Kyle, it's been great, man. We really appreciate you coming on, spending a little bit of time just getting hardcore Dolphin with us this morning. Always great reading all your stuff, buddy. Thank you.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Here's hoping we get training camp off without a hitch, and we got some stuff to talk about here in the coming weeks.
Right.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.